What is up, boys and girls, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. It's great to be back in a rhythm on Laying the Points with your boy Farley Betts. Second week in a row, and this is going to be ongoing throughout the summer, talking mostly NFL football as we prepare for the upcoming NFL season. Some of the bets we like, evaluation of some of these teams, or eventually evaluation of every single NFL team leading up to the season. I'll have some great guests on the show leading up to the NFL season. And then, of course, we will spatter some free picks throughout these podcasts as well. Going to talk the NBA Western Conference Finals today, as along with the NBA Finals and what we think of that prospectively. Then going to get into some way too early week one NFL bets and NFL futures that we like, and maybe even end on a few free picks in the French Open, which is some things to think about if you're looking to wager on that. My name is Chris R. Farley, as always, aka at Farley Betts on X, formerly known as Twitter. You can also follow me on Instagram if you want a little bit more of a personalized touch. We will be here every week, like I said, until the NFL season begins. And you may have seen me on the BetUS NBA show twice a week, every week throughout the NBA season. You might have seen me on VSiN. You might have written or read my articles at sportswagers.ca or sportswagers.live. You might have seen my articles in the past at the Odds Breakers as well. Been a professional bettor now going on 5 years. Over 200 units won between the NBA and NFL over the last four seasons. It's a season, not a year. So a lot of success. The Circa win back in 2021, 114K cash prize. Looking to return to our contest winning circle this season. And that's why we're starting our prep so early in the NFL. I know some guys that start in, you know, March, April. I can't do that with the NBA schedule, that's for sure. And just all the various gigs that are going on. But starting at this point after last summer is a blessing for sure. I mean, we just had a baby. Tess was brand new at that point. Middle of summer, we were in a house that we really hated at the time. Air conditioning wasn't working well. Sweltering, like just really hot outside. No pools, no water within distance. It was just a kind of a miserable summer. One of the most trying summers that we had for a while. And it wasn't a great environment for my NFL preparation, really for any of my betting. I kind of paid for it last summer. You know, publicly we won a lot in the WNBA, which I'll give away free picks in the WNBA this summer as well. We certainly won enough in tennis. Privately, sometimes you get bored in the summer. I know I had some of those moments where I just got drawn into, you know, too many random bets as the NFL and NBA seasons were over. And that's not something I'm doing this summer, right? Got to learn our lessons, got to take a break, especially, I mean, someone like me or anyone who's involved in the betting industry and bets any one of these major sports knows the NFL is such a slog. I mean, by the time you're through those 18 weeks into the playoffs, you're damn near sick of it between all the writing and the betting and the tweeting that you have to do on all the shows and everything. And then, the NBA season starts in the middle of the NFL season. So it's a really busy time of year, especially fall into spring. And it's nice to have a little summer break. It's nice to do this prep. It's nice to talk to all of you about it. So let's get to it. Let's start with the NBA playoffs, though, specifically the NBA Western Conference Finals and these prospective NBA Finals. Definitely a little surprised that Minnesota looked so good in game four because they really haven't looked that crisp throughout this whole series. I mean, it's been Kyrie and Luka starting things off hot in the first quarter, Minnesota kind of chasing them. But a few things made a difference in that game four. First of all, just the intensity for Minnesota's defense was constant. We got the best version of Anthony Edwards right from the start of that game, just really high energy, you know, said that he took it personal. Again, the things that he's saying are a little gimmicky, you know, like he's trying to be a leader for this team. And I get it. He's just 22 years old. It's not an easy spot when you're going up against guys like Luka and Kyrie, but he's trying, right? And he was certainly intense in that game four. I mean, hit a lot of threes, led his team in scoring, played great defense, especially at certain moments of that game, made great passes. You know, if the Timberwolves are going to win, it's very likely that Anthony Edwards has to play that well in this series, because the Dallas Mavericks have two stars, two really clutch stars that, even though they didn't have a great game four, you better believe they're going to come back and they're going to be a lot better. 6 for 18 from the field, Kyrie Irving, 1 for 6 from beyond the arc. That'll change. Kyrie's over with three-pointers, probably a good look in game five. I'm sure it's at 1.5 and it's juiced, or 2.5 at plus money might be worth it. Luka Doncic, you know, 28 points, but 7 for 21 from the field, 4 for 11 from three-pointers, 15 rebounds and 10 assists. I mean, he's so active and so physical out there. So he's always going to get his. And I imagine in these final games, he'll continue to get a lot of assists and rebounds. We've seen that at the end of those last two series as well. Karl-Anthony Towns, probably his best game in a long time, right? He was a key part of their win against the Denver Nuggets in game 6 and 7. Really, Anthony Edwards didn't play that well in those final two games. And Denver was still overwhelmed by all of his supporting cast members, right? We got Mike Conley, you know, Towns was playing great, hitting threes, his defense and effort was there. Rudy Gobert was more consistent from the free throw line, etc. Jaden McDaniels and Anthony Edwards always talks about his impact on the game. He was great. Naz Reid has been phenomenal. But some of these guys have fallen off a little bit, maybe off of that emotional high from the Nuggets series win. Well, might still be too little too late, but this is a more interesting series now. Certainly a dangerous Minnesota team going back home. I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota won game five and it goes back to Dallas and then Dallas wins. But I'll probably be taking Dallas money line, you know, plus money in game five on the road. The road did not affect them in games 1 and 2, as we saw. I mean, all the momentum on the Timberwolves side after a huge series win. And Dallas found a way to eke it out in those two games. I mean, 4 points total in those two wins, right? A 4-point margin total, 3 and 1, 1 and the other. But they were the victors. They were more clutch at the end. And I expect Luka and Kyrie to play a lot better. So strongly leaning to Dallas on the spread and probably just going to take them on the money line. Look out for my official play at sportswagers.live or sportswagers.ca mañana, tomorrow, for that on Thursday. As far as the NBA finals go, I'm just going to say this. I'm not going to talk too much about it because I want to talk more NFL today. But if Minnesota somehow comes back and, you know, wins this series and faces Boston, I like Boston a lot. I mean, Minnesota is going to be so tired. They're going to have pulled off the impossible, seemingly, 2 times in a row, right? Down 3-2 to Denver. And then down 3-0 in this series. Like, if they won, they've already accomplished so much, right? The only team out of 155 teams in NBA history that would have come back from a 0-3 playoff series down 0-3 to win it. So, like, that alone is an accomplishment, right? Anthony Edwards and his teammates will be in the record books. We're kind of seeing some of their emotional flaws now, right? Some of their inconsistencies game to game against a star power team and a good defense like Dallas. So against a great defense like Boston, that's been great all year, and the kind of scoring talent they have, Kristaps coming back. If Minnesota somehow pulls this off, I'm making some 4-0, 4-1 series wins for Boston in the NBA Finals. I do think Boston finally gets it done. I do think that it'll be a very interesting series either way. You know, I mean, I don't think this is going to be like it's probably not going to be a sweep, but you know, the value is going to be there, but, it'll be a more interesting series. But if we're looking at a great series, right? Boston versus Dallas, Kyrie, who used to play for the Celtics. And there was a lot of, you know, gossip and reporting that Kyrie wasn't a good fit there, and like fans or players didn't like him, or he was kind of a locker room problem, right? That was at least a perception of Kyrie when he was in Boston, and certainly when he was in Brooklyn. But things have turned around in Dallas. He's a better fit. He's I mean, recognizing that Luka's the guy on Dallas must not have been easy for Kyrie, but they're good friends. They support each other. They make each other better. We're seeing a Dallas Mavericks roster that has been well constructed, certainly after that trade, bringing in PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, extra support, you know, physical three-point shooting support from PJ Washington, and Daniel Gafford is a try-hard, very solid, you know, above average, slightly above average guy in the front court. But, you know, he's an able body that's going to work really hard for stuff. And that's enough for a Dallas Mavericks team that's been so soft in the front court for so long. But I think they're a much better matchup for the Boston Celtics. I think Kyrie and Luka are gonna make that an incredible series. I'm probably going to look to take Dallas in that series. That's the way I'm leaning now. You know, maybe like 4-3, 4-2 situation. Certainly Boston's going to win, you know, at least 2 to 3 games, if not the whole series, right? But the value is going to be on Dallas, and I certainly think it's possible for the Dallas Mavericks to pull off something amazing and march their way to the NBA Finals and to an NBA championship. So hoping for a Dallas and Boston series, I think it would be a better series. Gotta love what Minnesota's been doing. Really outstanding performances on both sides of the court. Their offense letting them down a little bit now, but as you saw, if Anthony Edwards can pick it up and some of his teammates can pick him up when he's not shooting well, this is a team by defense and physicality alone that can beat anybody in the NBA. I almost said WNBA because that's what's been on my mind a little bit more lately. But yeah, so look, I'm going to bet on Dallas to win in game 5 most likely. I'm hoping for a Dallas-Boston series. But if Minnesota somehow makes it, look to fade them in the NBA Finals because they will be a tired bunch of dudes. All right, how about some NFL football chatter? Some of our bets that we're looking at for week 1 and some futures. I'm sure by now, if you listen to betting podcasts like mine, you know, you've heard the Steve Fezziks out there. You've maybe listened to a few other guys like the Ross Tucker Show with Steve Fezzik. It's a great show. Probably like Ross's style a little more than Steve's, but Steve's excellent. I mean, he's really good at what he does, right? A little condescending, but he's excellent. So you might have heard some of these notions before on other betting podcasts, but I'd like to just give you my take on some bets and angles that I like. I never fire away right away. I'm just not that confident yet in my power ratings. And then, you know, like I'm not going to put down money 4 to 5 months ahead of time unless I really, really like something. But after some thought, after some analysis, finding some free time between the NBA and everything else going on in life, I do have some bets that I like. I've got some other leans, and I absolutely have some futures to talk about. So let's get to it. How about the Packers and Eagles in Brazil? Brazil, week 1 of the NFL season. What a strong arm move. NFL just everywhere, aren't they? They're in Germany. They're in the UK. They're in Mexico. Now they're in Brazil. Where is the NFL not? And they're going to be in Australia soon, apparently. So very, very interesting, but I'm taking the under in this one right now. I put one unit on it, under 48.5. I know I could have got a better number, but 48 is still a key number in total. So is 47. So we're getting above some key numbers as far as totals go. And Vic Fangio has come over from Miami to Philly. And Philadelphia's defense was rather broken last season, right? It became an offensive team where Jalen Hurts taking on too much, you know, and his wide receivers, which led to some frustration. As a team, they didn't look like they had a lot of chemistry and unity down the stretch. Certainly some of that has to do with their, in my opinion, not so great coach. But I'm not going to talk about him on this pod. I'm going to talk about the under in this because I think Vic Fangio is absolutely going to improve this Eagles defense. They still have world-class talent, especially on the defensive line. Their secondary should play a lot better than they did last year. But they, you know, they need a guy to bring this group together. And Vic Fangio knows what the hell he's doing, right? I mean, he had the Miami defense overperform many times last season, really an under-talented defense in many ways. And he just has a rich history in this league, right? By the way, has some local affiliations, went to Stroudsburg Stroudsburg area college, Stroudsburg something, which is up near the Poconos, which is not that far from Philly. So, you know, he's got some local roots around this Philly program. He's probably going to be pretty happy there. This is a defense that's full of exceptional talent, and they just need a great coach to bring them together. And on the other hand, Jeff Hafley joins Green Bay as their new defensive coordinator from Boston College, you know, leading that team to 3 out of 4 seasons of bowl eligibility, a coach that they're very high on, a coach that a lot of teams would be very high on to lead their defense or even lead their team. And again, this is in a foreign environment in Brazil, right? Neither quarterback has obviously ever played there before. It's going to take some getting used to in the confines of whatever that looks like. I mean, I don't know what stadium it is, but it ain't going to look like an NFL stadium. And while I think the quarterbacks will take over at some point, right, Jordan Love looked phenomenal down the stretch. I mean, the way that he destroyed the Lions on Thanksgiving, the way he looked in the playoffs, you know, that kid has a lot of potential. I was praising him leading up to last season where a lot of people were shitting on him. Nice to get that one right. And I think these quarterbacks will take over at a certain point, but over 48.5, you know, a game that's like 28-24 in Brazil that might start really slow. You can't bet halves yet, but when the first half is total is available, I'm probably going to bet the under on that even stronger. One unit on under 48.5 in Brazil, there are more reasons to expect that to go under than there is to go over. Week one, another bet, Cardinals +7 against the Bills going on the road. Now, hear me out on this one. I know, you know, Buffalo Bills have a great brand at this point, right? Everybody loves the Buffalo Bills. They love the fans. You know, they love everything that goes on over there at Orchard Park. Who doesn't love Josh Allen? I get it. These Cardinals, though, they clearly got better in the offseason. According to many experts, maybe the best draft class in the entire NFL out of any team. And, of course, that starts with Marvin Harrison Jr., who with Kyler Murray could be absolutely lethal, like immediately, right? Like Kyler Murray is a creator. He's a big playmaker. And Marvin Harrison Jr. knows how to get to the right spot. He knows how to make every catch. It's hard to see that duo not succeeding pretty much right away. And while the Bills still are probably going to have a above average defense, they lost some guys, right? And Josh Allen now might have to do even more this season after losing Stephon Diggs. I mean, I love his support for Keon Coleman, how he's been sounding off about the rookie wide receiver from Florida State. But it's very unlikely that overnight they're going to become a dynamic duo. In my opinion, less likely than a Marvin Harrison Jr. and a Kyler Murray, who, yeah, I just like the style of that combination. Josh Allen almost immediately always looks to lead the offense himself anyway. Keon Coleman, it's his very first NFL game. It is for Marvin Harrison Jr. too, but there's some pedigree in that blood, right? And he played for Ohio State. I mean, a team that was constantly in big games. Unlike Florida State, they had a few. We didn't have a great quarterback always. You know, Buffalo will be rocking. It's a new season, but that means it's also a new year for Jonathan Gannon, who's a defensive coach. They have a young defense, but they brought over Nick Rallis as their new defensive coordinator from Philly. He was their linebackers coach. Smart guy, young guy. There are hopes that the defense is going to be a lot better this season. +7 is a lot, guys. I mean, week one, I realize it's at Buffalo, but I think Buffalo is going to take a little bit of a step down this season, if anything. And the Cardinals, just like any team in week one, right, they have the rest of the season. It's a brand new slate. They could go to the Super Bowl as far as we know. So Cardinals +7, week one, that's way too many points for me. I do think that's going to drop a little bit, especially when we start hearing positive things about Marvin Harrison Jr., you know, in practice and in, you know, the preseason and shit like that. So I don't think this goes to 7.5. I think it could only go the other way. Give me the Cardinals +7 right now, May 29th, 2024, for two units. I think I said that already, but that's a line that I can rest comfortably with, even at this point in the calendar year. Steelers +3, absolutely brutal schedule for Pittsburgh this year, but this is opportunity in week one. Right, because maybe one of the only opportunities that they're going to have to really win a game in a situation that could favor them. I know they're on the road, but like Steve Fezzik actually pointed out on the Ross Tucker podcast, you know, the win totals of Pittsburgh's win totals, 8.5. Atlanta's 9.5. Atlanta is a much easier schedule than Pittsburgh, like much, much easier, right? So the separation there is just one win. And yet Pitt still sits at 8.5. I mean, they have a much better defense, right? They're even if Atlanta improves this year defensively right away, Pittsburgh has the better defense, right? Joey Porter Jr., second year. Lord knows TJ Watt's going to be back in a monster as always. And these two first-time quarterbacks with their new teams, right? Obviously, Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins have been around for a while, but Kirk in a dome, high expectations. I think the offense will be good, but this is a big, big test for them out the gate. Whereas Russell Wilson, he's seen it all. I think he's a really good fit for the Steelers. By the way, he's going to be the more agile, more mobile quarterback in this game, right? That might not happen a lot for Russ anymore, but in this one, he will be, and I think that'll matter. And you know, Pittsburgh, they pull out these contests, right? We saw 2 years ago, they were a big underdog in week one and they won straight up. Not so much last year, got blown out by the 49ers, but Tomlin and the Steelers are going to be ready for this one. Giving me number three on the Steelers in week one, you know, a field goal underdog. I think this one's going to be even closer. And I think Pittsburgh might just win this straight up. 1.5 units on Pittsburgh week one at Atlanta. I just want to mention Titans plus 4.5. This is just a lean for now, but it obviously stands out to me, right? I mean, Will Levis, we'll see. Big TBD on their quarterback. It's a brand new operation there in Tennessee, right? No more Derrick Henry. You know, their defense, I don't think it's quite as good either. But how about how brand new Chicago is, right? I mean, I get it. Caleb Williams, this Chicago Bears team, is probably going to be better. Their offensive talent is considerably better after the draft and after free agency and picking up some guys. But week one, rookie expectations, 4.5-point favorites. I don't care that they're at home or not. That's a lot. That's a lot for the Bears week one to expect that kind of performance. So give me the Titans at plus 4.5. Actually, don't give me it just yet. Sorry, my wife texted me. I had to look at it. You know, we got a baby. We got things going on. Kind of forgot what I was saying there. Titans plus 4.5 is a strong lean to me, for me. But I think this one might be pushed even higher, right? The perception out there about Chicago is getting a little crazy at this point. I'm going to wait on this one, maybe pull the trigger, but plus 4.5 seems like way too many points against a brand new Chicago team in a lot of ways. It's a lot of moving parts to put together and expect immediate success right away. I'm going to talk about the Giants, guys. I know I'm a Giants fan. It's probably not going to be a good year for us. However, Giants minus one or pick 'em week one at home. Very tough schedule, as always, for the Giants. NFC East. But this could be a great chance for them to open up with a win. Minnesota could be an absolute dumpster fire. You know, JJ McCarthy might be good. I'm sure he's a good fit. Sam Darnold might be a good fit. You know, certainly he's been up and down. I mean, when he plays under Kyle Shanahan, sure, he looks better. We'll see with Minnesota, who they have all the receiving talent in the world, but it's just a lot of changes, right? It's a lot of changes. Now, running back Aaron Jones, he should rumble even harder and more explosive when they're at home on turf. But this is at Giants Stadium or East Rutherford or the New Meadowlands, whatever the hell you want to call it. And the Giants and Daniel Jones are a little sneaky in the sense that Daniel Jones, this is a big year for him. He can turn around his career completely, you know, remain the Giants starting quarterback, prove that he deserves it. It's a big year for him and that coaching staff that they, you know, they all want to stay put, right? Coach Daboll, Brian Daboll, he wants to stay there. Joe Shane, you know, the whole operation is kind of dependent on this season. They're at home in the opener, a very short favorite. Saquon being gone is not going to mean much, I promise, as a Giants fan. That's just the case with running backs most of the time this year. Probably a better fit for Philly anyway. Have fun, Saquon. But Daniel Jones is going to be motivated. Malik Nabers, their number one draft pick wide receiver, is the real deal. And listen, I think this defense for the Giants could be very sneaky good. I mean, they improved their defensive line. They got Brian Burns over there now, and there was already a pretty damn good defensive line. Their offensive line has improved a little bit. I mean, not as much as it should, in my opinion. Like, they never give it enough attention. Like, I don't know what's going on there. It's very frustrating. But at the same time, I don't think that Minnesota is a solid matchup for the Giants. Again, at home, crowd going a little crazy. It's a pick 'em. I do think the Giants might be worth a look. No, I don't think there's any use in pulling the trigger right now. I mean, you could get plus money or the Giants at plus one or plus two by the time this closes. Who knows, right? Like, people like Sam Darnold. People like J.J. McCarthy and Aaron Jones. People certainly like Justin Jefferson. Like, the Vikings have a pretty good brand the past few seasons. Nobody trusts the Giants. So I'm not going to pull the trigger now, but that's a bet I'm looking at for week one in the NFL season. All right, some NFL futures to think about. We'll cruise through these a little bit faster this time. You know, obviously, with any kind of future, right, this is a long term. I mean, it's the end of May right now. A ton of things can happen from now even till the start of the season, and, of course, throughout the season. So in my opinion, and what I always recommend to my audience is, please don't bet too much on any future, right? Like, you shouldn't be betting probably even one unit on any future. You know, week one is a little bit different, right? We're exposing lines that might be terribly inaccurate. You know, there's not that much time between now, June, and early September. But futures typically, right, takes all season, injuries, the volatility and the craziness that is the NFL. You know, just don't invest too much on any one future. Nobody fucking knows the future, right? Like, that's the end of it. You know, week to week, you might be able to predict things on a more accurate basis. Over the next, you know, 10 months, it's a lot harder, guys. So, you know, half a unit probably at the most is what you should be putting on any one of these bets. Got a few that I put down half a unit wise, a few leans on top of that. I'm going to cruise right through these, and then we'll give you some French Open thoughts to consider, and then we'll get the hell out of here. First future, Bengals plus 1,300 to win the Super Bowl. Winning three straight for Kansas City is going to be terribly hard. Winning two in a row is insanely hard, just like we saw last season. I mean, that was an elite San Francisco team. Chiefs still pull it out. But the Cincinnati receiving core is still so elite. As long as those guys can get their contracts in line, I'm sure they will, because the organization as a whole is very selfless. You know, it feels like very Patriots-like of the past. Like, they just kind of get it. Burrow can beat Mahomes. We've seen it before. He's 3-1 against the Chiefs. Really, the modern Bengals are the only team that's beaten the modern-day Chiefs as consistently as, I mean, the Bengals are the only team that has done that. Lou Anarumo hasn't moved on. That's probably the best thing that comes out of a disappointing season last year, is that Lou Anarumo didn't get, you know, any coaching offers or gigs that he would want, I guess. Maybe he didn't get any at all. Regardless, he's still with the team, and he's a really good defensive coordinator, and they still have plenty of defensive talent. Burrow is going to win one Super Bowl. And listen, the AFC North is incredibly talented. It ain't going to be easy, but I don't think the Bengals start as slow as they have. They know the past two seasons that they've started so damn slow. I think it's probably starting to piss them off at some point. I expect a much better operation this year all around from Cincinnati. If Joey Burrow stays healthy, watch out this year for the Cincinnati Bengals. How about the Rams plus 1,600 to win the NFC? I love this bet. So I put down a half a unit on the Bengals, and I'm putting down a half a unit on the Rams to win the NFC. According to this guy, the Rams have the best quarterback in the NFC, period. Jordan Love on the up and up. Jalen Hurts, pretty good. Dak Prescott, pretty good. Caleb Williams, we'll see. But Matthew Stafford, you see some of the throws that he made last season. This guy is not ready to retire yet. I mean, still has an absolute howitzer. They still have one of the best coaches in the NFL, Super Bowl winner. No Aaron Donald this year, but a growing, better-than-you-think defense. Two of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Do not be surprised in a weakened NFC if the Rams end up winning this straight up, especially because San Francisco, right, they have such a tough schedule this season. Like, really tough road spots and travel spots on top of the Super Bowl hangover that often happens, you know, to the Super Bowl loser. We see that very, very often, right? We saw it last year, that happening to the Eagles. So look at the Rams possibly winning this NFC this season. It's around plus 1,600, like I said. I put a half a unit on and shop around. But I think they're going to be better than, like, no one's really thinking about the Rams still, right? It's still San Francisco and Philly. Watch out. And of course, the Lions are there too, right? But Matthew Stafford, a little revenge game on Detroit. Uh-oh. Rams NFC West as well, plus 330 at DraftKings. It's around that number at most books. Again, San Francisco, really tough schedule. Something to think about. Rams, Rams, Rams. Eagles at plus 700 is probably pretty good value too, as much as I hate to say it. Definitely haven't bet that one because I do have some bias against the Eagles and how much they fucking annoy me every single year and their fans. But plus 330, I'm sorry, plus 700 on the Eagles is pretty damn good value to win the NFC. Again, a weakened NFC conference. To me, it's Lions, Rams, Eagles. I think San Francisco kind of crumbles this year, and forget about it with Dallas. I never trust them. We mentioned San Francisco before. Under 11.5 is very juiced at this point, but it is a really tough schedule. And we've seen Kyle Shanahan teams flop in these spots before. They had that 3-game losing streak in weeks 6 through 8 last year, starting at Cleveland in a tough road spot, and then lost at Minnesota, and they got beat by Cincinnati at home. You know, lost at Denver and at Carolina the season prior in bad travel spots as well. They're not very good at that. And I don't think Kyle Shanahan is a very motivational coach. So I just think that San Francisco, unfortunately, for how talented they are, they take a step back. Now they have a bullseye on their back, by the way, just like Philly did a year ago. So under 11.5 is a bet that I really like. But unfortunately, it's very juiced at this point. Got to the window a little late. We'll see if maybe that changes, but I still like it under 11.5 for San Fran. Pittsburgh under 8.5. This is the year that Mike Tomlin is probably not going to reach 500, right? I mean, the AFC North is so, so talented. I mean, the Ravens or the Bengals could be in the Super Bowl, right? I mean, the Browns are right there too, right? The Browns still have the defense. They still have talent. They still get big wins. It's a lot about Deshaun Watson kind of turning his mentality around, you know, getting over himself and everything that's happened in the past. But tough division, tough schedule, very tough schedule in general, maybe the toughest in the NFL, under 8.5. I appreciate the respect that Pittsburgh gets with Mike Tomlin year after year, and it's super, super juiced at this point. But if you can parlay 2 season total unders, Pittsburgh and San Francisco are probably a pretty damn good parlay. I have bet 2 units on the Lions over 10.5 when that line was a little better. It's not bad now. You can still find 115 out there. I just love the Lions. I love everything coming from Lions camp. Minnesota is going to be worse this year. We'll see about Chicago. A lot of assumptions being made there. And Green Bay is going to be good, but I think the Lions are better. And, you know, Lions got beat by Jordan Love at home on Thanksgiving last year. So they have some, they got some opportunities for, to take some vengeance this season. Lions over 10.5. I think they're going to be the class of the NFC. And, you know, hopefully competing with the Rams, then I'll be in a pretty good spot for some of these futures down the line. Texans under 9.5 is a plus money grab. They could win the AFC South without winning 10 games. It's a very good AFC conference still, right? It's a bad division. And there's always some like surprising victories. Like I think the Colts are going to be a little better this year too. Jacksonville is in kind of a revenge year as well. Nobody's even thinking about them anymore, or Trevor Lawrence. So there's just a lot of positive vibes going towards the Houston Texans right now. And I get it. I love CJ Stroud. I love what he did last season. But again, he's not a surprise anymore, right? He's not a mystery. 10 wins is a lot in the AFC. Plus money on Texans under 9.5. I like that. Atlanta under 9.5, same thing. You know, easier division. Not as easy, I don't think, as the AFC South. I think some of these teams are going to be a little better than we think. But Atlanta could win that division without getting to 10. A lot of change there, you know, too, with Kirk. You know, Kirk, as good of a thrower as he is, not very mobile. You got some good defenses there in the NFC South who can give him some problems. I think the Carolina defense will even be better. So I like Atlanta under 9.5, Jets under 9.5. That's a big yikes to me, the fact that it's even at 9.5. That's inflation. I mean, until Nathaniel Hackett in this offensive line, now they got Tyron Smith. That's a big add. But to be determined, right? Remember when Nate Solder went over to the Giants? Any offensive lineman, you actually do hear Ross Tucker talk about this too. I think he talked about it on his previous podcast. Any offensive lineman would say the same thing. When you go from team to team, the styles of the offense can be completely different, right? So even though Tyron Smith is a great player, one of the best offensive linemen on the Dallas Cowboys for many years, and a big addition for their offensive line, I don't think that's just going to totally transform their offensive line overnight. And I don't think Nathaniel Hackett's a very good offensive coordinator. Again, a lot of hype. They're going to be very entertaining to watch, I'm sure. A lot of diva moments from Aaron Rodgers, who I like, but he can be a diva. Under 9.5 is the only way I can look there. And again, this is mega juice, but Bills under 10.5. AFC East is going to be as competitive a division as there is out there. Not the Patriots, but the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Bills. Again, I think Josh Allen is going to have to do even more this year. I think their defense isn't as good as previous seasons. Under 10.5 on Buffalo for this guy. All right, last but not least, some French Open free picks. Iga Swiatek is going up against Naomi Osaka right now. Osaka's winning in the third set. Iga was the favorite to win the French Open. She was around minus 130 at some books. If she gets by Naomi Osaka today somehow, then I like, well, I guess I don't want to say that I like it yet necessarily, but look for Elena Rybakina, who's kind of been quietly still elite, still playing well, but not getting to her max yet. She's okay on clay. You know, she won at Wimbledon 2 years ago, and I think she'll be better there. But Sabalenka, she's been running hot, but very inconsistent. Like, she could lose a match straight up. The value on a Rybakina is going to be very nice. And maybe even watch out for Marta Kostyuk, who, that would be a massive surprise. But we've seen it before, right? Marketa Vondrousova last year winning Wimbledon. She was not even ranked. Marta Kostyuk is on the up and up. She is surging. It's going to take a big mental, like, uptick, right? Like, she's going to have to learn how to be mentally better to get to these finals and actually win it. But if there's no Swiatek, Marta Kostyuk, Danielle Collins, certainly Sabalenka, Elena Rybakina, there's some high-value grabs there that you can look at to win this tournament as a whole. And as far as tomorrow goes, man, the rain in this French Open to start it off has been really frustrating. I got a few parlays that look like they're absolutely going to cash, and I have to wait. But tomorrow, as long as they all play, I would parlay Danielle Collins, Diana Yastremska, Sabalenka winning 2-0, and Anastasia Potapova. You're going to get around plus 150 for that, anywhere from plus 150 to plus 170 on that four-leg parlay. Really like that tomorrow on the women's side. I pay attention more to the women's side, shorter matches. Maybe there are some other reasons behind that. But hey, it's good TV. It's good sports to watch and to bet on. And when you know, and when you learn more about them, obviously it becomes more interesting, right? So like that four-legged parlay tomorrow. Danielle Collins to win, Diana Yastremska to win, Arina Sabalenka to win 2-0, and Anastasia Potapova to win straight up. I've been talking a lot, 30 minutes straight, according to my watch. Ladies and gents, thank you for listening to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. This has been a fun podcast, a little bit longer than usual. Talking NFL, baby. We're back talking the NBA Finals. Hopefully that's an exciting finish, and I'll be betting and putting out more free picks all the time in the French Open. Look for free picks in the French Open, the WNBA, the NBA as the season ends, and more over at sportswagers.ca. Check me out on the BetUS NBA show as that season comes to a finale. Follow me at Farley Betts, and as always, let's win some damn money. See y'all later.